We're continuing our series tonight in the book of Joshua. We're in chapter 14. I'll read that in its entirety. So our theme tonight is going to be standing firm or holding fast. Very similar concept. So I'll invite you to stand with me. Let me pray first and I'll invite you to stand before we read the word. Father, thank you for this portion of your word tonight, and we ask that, even though written so long ago, help us understand it in light of its position in the canon of Scripture and then in light of the fulfillment of the New Testament in Jesus Christ. And so we ask for your help to illuminate this text to our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua chapter 14, let's all stand and as I read God's Word. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers, houses of the tribes of the people of Israel, gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Amen. You may be seated. May God open this passage up to our understanding tonight. Well, as I said, our theme tonight is standing firm or holding fast, you might say. As Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And so in this chapter, Caleb is a shining example of standing firm, of holding fast, not wavering. Scripture says here, he's wholly devoted to the Lord. So consider, first of all, point one on your outline, an inheritance for all God's people. The first five verses, we have this concept of the lot mentioned. You see that in verse 2. "But their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes." So the lot here really only means, it's a means of divine revelation if God appoints it to be so. The lot is only a means of divine revelation in this era of redemption if God had divinely appointed it. And it certainly wasn't like today what we might think of flipping a coin or rolling dice or anything like that. When the Lord says he will direct them by lot, then he will do so. But even then, for men to assume that a lot as divine revelation just because they wanted to use it to find out something, well, that's presumption. In a sense, it would be trying to put words in God's mouth, as if they could do that. But lots were not to be assumed to be the way in which God guides His people. But when God has revealed that He's going to use lots in this era of redemption, then He will do so. Otherwise, not so. And therefore today, since Scripture is complete, and since God is no longer giving special revelation, rather He is illuminating what He has already given us, we're not to look to the use of lots to give us guidance, but to the complete Word of God. But then notice there's the role of Joshua and Eleazar, the heads of the people here in verse 1. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers, houses of the tribes of the people of Israel, gave them to inherit. So you might ask, well, what was their role here and how they distributed the inheritance if it was by lot, if it fell to them to supervise the lot? And then also to determine the exact boundary according to the numbers of each tribe when the general vicinities had only been determined by lot. Well, we're not told. But then we have the continuity here in verse 3. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2.5 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. People of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. So the point here is there's continuity, a continuing of the process begun by Moses. And it's explained again that Joseph became 2 tribes, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh. Yet the Levites, they had no part in the land, but they were to dwell in the cities. And so it still comes to 12 tribes inheriting, really, the land, because the Levites had no land. And Joseph was split into 2 tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. But the 2.5 tribes, they've actually gotten their land on the east side of the Jordan, leaving the 9.5 tribes to have their allotment on the west side of the Jordan. Now, all of this can almost seem, you know, annoying in one sense. I mean, focusing on all this detail and the fact that it's explained again and there's no land for the Levites, and the 2.5 tribes on the east of the Jordan and 9.5 tribes left on the west. And so not only is the unity of God's people being emphasized again here, but the fact that all of Israel was being accommodated as well, that's being emphasized also. So whatever we're tempted to think something is pedantic in Scripture, it's never so. There's always a reason. Scripture is always there for our instruction. And all the Israelites were accommodated here because all the Lord's people inherit the kingdom and they inherit an everlasting inheritance. And the fact that they're entering into this land foreshadowed by the visible church, inheritance of Canaan, well, that's a foreshadow, of course, of our inheritance in Christ. You remember in the parable in Matthew 20, so we can learn some things from this. You know how the various laborers were all paid a denarius? Verse 11, Matthew 20, 11. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour. You've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give you." And so the laborers are those who had gone out, you know, into the vineyard early. They started first of the day and they agreed. Their agreed rate was a denarius. Those who had gone out late, well, they had also agreed to the rate. But they all received a denarius. And in one sense, does this not teach us that really the inheritance for God's people is all the same in that sense? In the sense that we all go to heaven, that we're all made perfect in holiness, we all enjoy the presence of Christ. John 14, 2, everybody knows this verse, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have gone there to prepare a place for you." All will be blessed forevermore. All will be fully satisfied in their souls. So the entry of the whole of Israel into the promised land Israel, the visible church here, entering into this is a foresample of the final inheritance of God's people. So this tells us that all the redeemed will be blessed forever in the presence of the Lord. And just like in the parable of the laborers, we're not to question the fairness of how God blesses or the inheritance He gives to all of His people. Whether His children enter His kingdom early and serve Him their entire life, or whether they enter late and still receive the inheritance, even though they may have lived most of their life as a rebellious pagan, hating God the whole time. Because we all deserve His eternal wrath, but He's been merciful to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We've got to do some more work on that later in the sermon. But secondly, point two on your outline is a promise remembered, verses 6 through 9. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely, the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God.'" So here, you see the courage of faith to the time when he and Joshua and Caleb, brought back what we might call a minority report. You remember in Numbers 14, when the majority were unbelieving and they were utterly dismayed, and Caleb remembered, he remembered this still. He remembered God's promise to him. And he remembered it, not surprisingly in one way, because it nearly cost him his life. Remember in Numbers 14:6? And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they said to the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. So yes, it nearly cost him his life. And he remembered the word of the Lord, and his faith was in God and in His word. In verse 9, here in chapter 14 of Joshua, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance.'" So all these years later, we see in the following verses that he keeps referring to the promise. Five times he mentions this promise of 40 years earlier. He had not forgotten what the Lord had said. He hung on to it all those years, wandering around the wilderness, that the Lord would fulfill that word, and that he, Caleb, would survive, that he would enter the land, that he would inherit that part of the land which the Lord had promised to him. So our faith must always be in, of course, what God has said. It's not some foolish mind over matter kind of way or wishful thinking kind of way, but always in what He has said, trusting in that. There are many good reasons, but one good reason for studying the Bible is to find God's exceedingly great and precious promises in it. There are treasures of promises in His Word, and that's certainly not the only reason, but it's a good reason, one good reason to study Scripture. So Caleb hung on to this promise through thick and thin, through the great struggle in the wilderness, that the Lord perform His word to him. Then thirdly, third point on your outline, notice here a testimony to the Lord's goodness, and that's in verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." The Lord had kept him alive, and so he acknowledges this. The Lord had said that he and Joshua would enter the promised land while their contemporaries fell in the wilderness. Kind of makes you think of Psalm 91, doesn't it? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you shall find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. So the Lord had preserved Caleb because he had promised, in this case, that he would. Perhaps when he saw those others dying off in the wilderness, perhaps he was tempted to doubt, am I going to make it? But no, he held on to the word of the Lord, and the Lord preserved his strength even. So Caleb says in Joshua 14:11, I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength is as now as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. Amazingly, here the Lord even preserved his physical strength. And that was also matched in his heart by the Lord's grace, strengthening his faith in the Lord so that he could, despite his age, inherit the land through faith. And at the same time, he was in active faith against the Lord's enemies. The Lord will give strength sufficient for each hurdle and conflict until we enter into the full inheritance. Wonderfully, not only had the Lord preserved his physical strength, but he'd also preserved him spiritually. And not only kept him in the faith, but kept him flourishing in the faith. So that in the end, he is an encouragement to us to trust in the Lord and his word. And his faith, because the Lord gave him physical strength to match it, faith even to engage in the Lord's battles to the end. That's remarkable. He did not fade in his old age, not in any sense, not physically, not spiritually. He remained firm to the end. You know, it reminds me, I'm not that much younger than some of you here, but we all need a continuation of life plan. You know, what are you going to do? I'm thinking about this already. What am I going to do when my son, you know, leaves home, when he goes to college, when he gets married, when he has a family of his own? What are you going to do if your spouse dies before you do, or you experience some kind of major life-changing event? Well, you better make sure you got a continuation of life plan. Because as long as you draw breath, you have to keep going. You have to keep serving, worshiping, living for God. All of that can never stop, can never quit. Fourth point on your outline, faith and wide-ranging inheritance. Now, we said earlier that in one sense, the inheritance is the same in that we all partake in it if we're heirs in Christ Jesus. But there's another sense in that there's faith and there's this wide-ranging variation in inheritance. And let's look at that. Joshua 14:12. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard that on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord had said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. So we're going to see there's faith and there's some variation in the inheritance. The land was divided, as we've seen in weeks earlier, as if it was already and totally available. It was talked about that way, but it really wasn't yet, because there were still Canaanites there in the land who had to be wiped out. No doubt many of the people would prefer just to stay in one block altogether there at Gilgal. But Caleb was of a different mindset. He was still to take Hebron in the mountain. There were still giants, the Anakim, the sons of Anak. And these had been those giants that had so terrified the 10 unbelieving spies and the people as a whole that they caused the people's heart to melt. These walled cities, these giants of men. But Caleb, 85 years old, He's still ready to fight in the name of the Lord. And he's ready. He says, give me this mountain, Anakim or not. I'm ready to fight. Because God had promised. His faith was still flourishing in his old age. And so he declares himself ready to take on whatever Anakim are still there. He hasn't moved one bit. He's not changed. He's the same. He's followed the Lord when he was 40. And he's following the Lord when he's 85. And he's still ready to go take care of business. That should be our aim and our desire. I find such encouragement from a man like Caleb to serve the Lord wholeheartedly to the end. And that's what I meant when I said earlier, when I talked about a continuation of life plan. And Caleb, and Joshua blessed him and no doubt prayed for him. Here's his old companion. He rejoiced with him. But it does show that although the inherited land, although everyone inherited, there was a variation. There's a wide range. And so it will be in the everlasting inheritance. So another parable, Luke 19. You're familiar with this one as well. Remember the parable there? It says, as they heard these things, Jesus proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in the business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? At my coming, I might have collected interest. And he said to him, he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Tough parable. The inheritance varies in degree. In one sense, we all receive the inheritance. But in another sense, any faithfulness that we show really is all due to God's grace, and yet we're called to do it and to be faithful. His work in our lives, the opportunities He gives us, how he affects the outcome of the use of our gifts, talents, and abilities, all these things. So then in the end, it's still all of God's grace. So Scripture teaches that all God's people are blessed with spiritual blessings. We all have an everlasting salvation in the Lord Jesus. And we're all going to be satisfied with His goodness when we awake in His likeness one day. And yet, there are those places which speak of variation. Well, is it not that way that all God's people in heaven are fully blessed to the full capacity of blessedness? Even so, this variation, this capacity, even as a reward of grace that the Lord acknowledges, how we steward what He gives us. So God graciously rewards the effects of His grace in His people and the service that we render in this world. There will be variation of capacity, just like there's variation of opportunity and variation of giftedness. The Lord decides all those things. But all will be altogether blessed so that there will be no envy. There'll be no boasting among God's people. And the variation of the inheritance of the promised land surely indicates that there's not all that land was identical portions, any of it. There is variation, but all have a part and portion in the inheritance. So finally then, by way of application, Caleb's given here as an example of inheriting faith, an example of entering into the promised inheritance by faith. and he is an aged example. And I love that. Ours is a generation that is impatient with a lot of things, and they're certainly impatient with old age. Our generation idolizes youth. Our church, the church, is not free from that. Now, I think our congregation does a pretty fair job, pretty good job, of honoring older saints. And I appreciate that. I think our multi-generational model of ministry helps us with that. And I also know that a lot of parents in our congregation are working very hard to teach their children to respect older saints and learn from them. But part of Caleb's example is just that. Judah took its inheritance in the south, but Caleb is pinpointed as an example when he's 85 years old. So we should learn from older saints, older believers. It's a huge mistake to think that young people are in such a special category that really fellowship with older Christians is not something that we should expect them to do. Caleb was 85, but he's given here in Scripture as an example to the whole of Israel and to us. I mean, he's 85. Shouldn't he be sitting back and just kind of coasting into the promised land? After all, he's probably tired. But I tell myself more than once a week, you can rest when you die. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And here Caleb had strength, and what he had strength for, he did in the name of the Lord, to show the generations to come the goodness of the Lord, the faithfulness to the Lord, that God who had been his God 45 years before was still his God, still faithful, still strengthening, still keeping, still fulfilling his word. The Lord Jesus has told us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Given that that promise is as good, whatever age we are, let's not see our zeal fade as the years go on. But to be as vigorous, if not physically vigorous, but it's certainly at least more vigorous in our zeal for His glory, the older we get, more so even than when we were younger. We might not be like Caleb, be able to stay strong that way when we're that age. May not be able to do everything we did when we were younger, but our faith should certainly be stronger. And our zeal for God and our love for the Scriptures and our desire to see sinners brought to Christ should be greater than it ever was the older we get. We need to encourage one another not to let getting older kind of mask potentially having some spiritual decay. Of course, we can't do what we used to do physically, but our faith should be as strong or stronger than it ever was. And by God's grace, may it be so. Father, thank you for this portion of your word tonight, and we ask that you will bless it to our understanding. Encourage us. Help us to never give up, Lord. Help us to keep going till the end, and we know we can count on you to preserve us. At the same time, help us to do our part. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.